Hey, welcome back. Continuing on with my discussion with Dr. Pam Popper. Pam, I would like to talk a little bit more about what we are discussing right now, but I don't want to take time away from your book. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, my book, I'll tell you why I wrote the book. First of all, I was doing a lot of research last summer. I wanted to put together information for the average person looking at this and just wanting to know what's happening here. Well-referenced. I mean, everything I put out is really well-referenced, but something that would just put everything in sequence. Like, how did this start? Who are the people behind it? What's their motivation? What kind of evidence supports what's been done, what should have maybe been done instead of this, and then what we think is going to happen next? And so far, if you go back and watch my first video I ever posted about this back in March, eerily, everything I said that was going to happen in early March is exactly what ended up happening. So I had a lot of background knowledge that gave me some insight into this. And it reads like a John Grisham novel. That's what people tell me. And that's what I wanted it to do. I wanted people to sit down and read this and say, oh, a science book. I'm going to force myself through this because I want to know this stuff. I wanted people to read it because it was like, I can't put it down. I want to know what the story, how the story ends, you know. So that's basically it. And what I think the main point of the book is what you said at the beginning of our interview, that this didn't really have much to do with health. This had to do with control of people. And we're finding that out more and more, I think, every day as more and more things are disclosed and more data comes out. And it just the story becomes more and more difficult to for the people behind it to hold together. It just doesn't make any sense. They should be dropping like flies in Florida and South Dakota, and they're not. And in places where everybody's been locked down, the death rate's through the roof. And that's just one piece of very inconvenient data, but there are thousands of pieces of inconvenient data. So that's what the book is about.
And people obviously can benefit by reading this book because they will know more about what's going on and they will become more aware, perhaps, of a bit of a hidden agenda that the government is more interested in than much of anything else. Am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I think that's probably true. I think the other thing is that it provides a roadmap of how to fix it and keep it from happening again. I mean, the key to solving any problem is figuring out how the problem developed. And then the key to preventing it from happening again is to fix those things. And it's very clear that we had been careening in this direction for a very long time. I mean, government has been out of control for a long time and increasingly intrusive. I don't find many people who disagree with that.
Nope.
I think that everybody that I talk to, and this has certainly proven it, has seen the medical system careen out of control. And the willingness of doctors to go along with dangerous things was really amplified by the opiate epidemic. I mean, maybe 10 or 20% of those opiate drugs were prescribed in pill mills, but the rest of it was doctors in everyday practices and medical institutions prescribing away because they believed what Purdue Pharma told them. There was an epidemic of untreated pain, and Oxy wasn't addictive. Well, those were patently false statements, but doctors acted on them, and we saw the disastrous consequences. So there are wonderful people in medicine, and I think it's really important to point that out. And I've had the privilege of knowing some of them over the years, principled people who do the right thing. But the profession as a whole needs a big redo. I mean, everything from the way we educate doctors to the amount of power that they have to the lack of accountability that the medical profession has, and to a certain extent, and I think it's always important, I should say, to make sure that people see a positive spin to this. This whole episode is going to force some reform to happen that I'm not sure would have happened any other way in areas of education and government and medicine and media. And, you know, there will be a lot of good that comes out of this, which doesn't diminish the suffering that people are having right now. I mean, nothing will resolve that. But I think that we'll look back on this in 10 years and say, miserable period of time, good things came out of it that probably couldn't have been accomplished any other way.
Now, let me ask you this, Pam. Are you referring to the opioid crisis? And I can certainly make some valuable comments on that. Let me rephrase that. I can ask some pretty valuable questions on that area. Are you talking?
I'm referring to the COVID crisis. The lessons we could have learned from the opiate crisis, there weren't any, because what happened is the people who own Purdue Pharma aren't in prison. and the doctors who prescribed are still practicing every day. And what led to that, the basic premise that doctors can do almost, the doctors can do anything they want with no accountability, that's still the way it is, which is why we have this mess that we have right now. So, one of the things, and I will make a promise on air to you and to whoever's listening, as I said 25 years ago that before I leave this planet, I will get a law passed that makes it a criminal offense to not properly inform people before you deliver medical care with the exception of emergency. If your head's bleeding on the sidewalk, you need to let people save your life. But if you're sitting in a doctor's office or a nurse practitioner's office and somebody's telling you about some type of test or drug or treatment, the failure to inform people properly of risks and benefits would be a criminal offense. It is in the frickin' mortgage business, all right? Think about this for a minute. If a mortgage broker doesn't disclose the terms of a loan properly, misrepresents the interest rate, fails to disclose escalation clauses or something of that nature, if you do that a lot of times, you can go to jail for it. So if it's important enough for disclosure to have penalties like that in the finance business, my gosh, when we're talking about people's health and sometimes their lives, I think we need that kind of accountability there too.
I mean, there's no question about that. To me, that just makes common sense. I want you to do me a favor. And Larry, I want you to hear this very, very clearly. I personally am going to, I've had health issues, as you know. I am going to subscribe to PAM's services. I fully intend to do that because I think it's the right thing for any clear-minded individual to do. She makes an awful lot of common sense. I'm going to read her book, but more importantly than that, I'm going to take advantage of her services, her company's services, I think I should say, and I'm going to walk every one of my listeners through this by commenting, number one, when I'm involved in something, and number two, why I'm involved in it and why Dr. Pam Popper's naturopathic techniques have either helped me or not helped me. Pam, is that okay?
That's fine. That's fine. And by the way, we don't use naturopathic techniques. That's not what our business is about at all, just okay, to make sure that you know what you're signing up for. We're basically, and I think this is another important point too, everybody's looking for some type of modality,
yes,
where you can just do what you're told and it's going to be safe. And there's no such thing. Again, there's some good things about naturopathy. There's some very good things about traditional healthcare, and there's some good things to be found in many different aspects of healthcare. But the real thing that should drive the decisions is evidence to support. And frankly, the naturopaths are just as guilty as the medical profession, in my opinion, of promoting things that are not evidence-based. And evidence-based has to mean something, not just that there's something published in a medical journal, but what you'll learn if you take classes from us is how to apply rules of evidence. In other words, he said, she said, I've got an article, you've got an article, this doctor has that degree, somebody else has a different degree. This circular discussion about trying to search for the factoid that justifies something is ridiculous, all right? So what it has to come down to is like football. You can't just run up and down the field with a football for an hour and call it a game. There are rules about how many people can play on the team. There are rules about the first downs and 10 yards always, and the quarters are 15 minutes, and if you're going to kick a field goal, it has to go through the posts. And you have to do the same thing. You have to set some ground rules for how you're going to look at things, which we do. And then you start using those filters as you look at information, and you'll find that there's just as much voodoo going on in the alternative healthcare field, if not more, than there is in the traditional medical field. So the whole key is to just look at each thing as an independent thing and say, is this a good or a bad idea? Not is this less harmful than something else. Does this lead to a better outcome for a human who's got a health issue? Than some, you know, that's the basic thing that you're trying to get to is what is the truth about something. And again, I'll go back to the real estate business. A house isn't worth $50,000 or $2 million. It's worth a fairly specific amount of money, and there's a little wiggle room in terms of it. But you can get to the actual value of a home by doing some research, and that's exactly the same process we should be applying to health.
Pam, I appreciate your time. Going to have to cut it here. Going to have to finish out the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Take care.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.